Looking at verses 18 and 19, the instruction of the Savior. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll ask help from God. Lord, draw near now, we pray of thee. Speak to our souls, Lord. We think of our hearing and our understanding, both of which have been mentioned here in the Scriptures. Oh, Lord, help us to hear this day without any difficulty, to hear with the heart, with heart response and heart love, even to thee. Give wisdom, O God, that we might have understanding as well. Lord, there would be little purpose if we only heard and didn't understand. But we pray for a coupling together of the hearing and the understanding, that the mind may be touched, the heart too, and that mind and heart may respond even as we hear. Speak thyself, Lord, fill this creature with the Holy Spirit. Take away every hindering thing. Wash us and cleanse us. Make us an instrument in thy hand. And Lord, minister to each soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you will know that this parable of the sower occurs three times in the Gospels. It's there in Matthew. It's found in Mark. It also appears in the Gospel of Luke, and not for nothing. Surely, it is the purpose of the Lord Jesus to bring this parable to the attention of the saints of God. And there it is. He has put it into the first three books of the New Testament. And even here in Matthew 13, where there is a collection of parables, the parable of the sower is put first. It's given that prominence. Moreover, the Lord is saying here and there throughout the portion. Now here, for example, in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's as if the Lord chastens us for our lack of attention. I know in the given way the attention is excellent in this congregation. Really is. But just the same, if we had revival today, if there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God, wouldn't you agree that our hearts would be consumed by the Word to an extent that is not normally the case? There in verse 18, the Lord gives us that injunction, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. It's like saying, now listen, and then again repeating the word, now listen. That's the way the Lord's ministering here. Do you see how in the collection of parables that's found in Matthew 13, the Lord gives preeminence to the parable of the sower? He puts it first for consideration. And therefore, we have to say, Lord, just the hearing. Just let me give attention. And give me help in this matter. And Matthew opens up a discussion on this parable of the sower, which extends through 23 verses. What coverage then in the Gospel of Matthew is given to the parable of the sower? Now you'll remember there are four types of ground. The seed by the wayside, the seed on the stony ground, the seed among the thorns, and then of course the good ground. But in the first three instances, the precious seed is lost. And if we look into the matter, a little further. The seed which dropped by the wayside never got a chance to grow because the fowls of the air swept in and snapped it up. Then there was the seed scattered over the stony ground, and it did not grow, and it could not grow because, you see, the nature of the ground did not lend itself to a fruitful harvest. The stones and the rocks would not allow the seed to grow. And then in the third case, the seed which falls among the thorns must fail. There is no harvest of any kind because the thorns spring up and choke the seed. And consequently, there's disappointment there. Now, the Lord offers an explanation for all of this. And I'm just going to talk about the first case today as we see it in verse 19. But it's true, anyway, that the Lord is giving us an all-round picture in these three instances where the seed is lost. In the first there, the fowls of the air, the Lord Jesus said, represent the devil. And men are lost because of the interference of the devil, the power of Satan to steal away the word out of the heart of man. Then, in the second instance, the stony ground, men are lost because of the nature of the ground itself, do you see? There, the stony ground is like the hard heart of man, which does not receive the word. There's no depth of earth there. And thus, there's no fruit to perfection. Men are lost because of the power of sin within. We're getting a build-up of the picture. In the first case, men are lost because of the interference of the devil. In the second picture, as we see it, men are lost because of their own nature, the power of sin within, the hard heart of man. In the third instance, which relates to the thorns, there is a reference to the world all around you. And in Mark and in Luke, we have similar words. For example, in Luke 8 and 14, the Lord speaks of the cares of the world, the riches of the world, the pleasures of the world. These are the sort of things that spring up and choke the seed. These are the things that spell ruin to the soul. These are the things that send man to hell. The involvement with the world that takes away the heart and sets the mind on other things and not on those things that belong to eternity. So we have the threefold picture then building up as we see it. The power of the devil hindering men, taking away the word. The power of sin within, the hard heart of man, man's own nature is a problem. And then, of course, the world all around us, inviting us to go another way, wrapping up our interests in lesser things to such an extent that we don't hear the word at all, and we miss our way. What a picture this is. As I said, we just want to take the first one. The power of the devil. Look at verse 19 again. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, he doesn't really see the issues, doesn't sense the reality of eternity, doesn't set a value on the word of God as he should, he doesn't understand the thing as he ought, then cometh the wicked one. You see that name? Different title for the devil is used in each of the three instances where this parable is told in the Gospels. But here, to start off with, the title is most expressive. The wicked one. That's his name. That's his character. That's his activity. The devil has personal involvement I don't see this parable any other way. There are many, many brethren who fully believe the devil's not even in the world. I don't know if they're wholly consistent with what they believe themselves. But they have the view that Satan is already bound and cast into the bottomless pit, and therefore he's not in the world. This is really a view not supported by Scripture. For here's the Lord describing this age, men and women. What is the parable of the sower about? Is it not a picture of how this age is developing? Yes, it is. And how is it then? The devil is not viewed as an absent person, an agent who isn't there. But instead, he's very much involved. The devil's still alive and kicking. And he is at work. And part of his work is here in the first parable. It's interesting to see the first three parables, in fact, mention the devil. The second one, he's the enemy who came by night and sowed the tares among the wheat. And then the third one, he's the fowls of the air again coming and lodging in the branches, as if to take over the whole tree. If the devil gets in, he takes over. And then the fourth one we have his agency, his influence, the leaven hidden away in the meal. So, out of the seven parables of Matthew 13, the Lord does give considerable attention to the work of that deadly enemy, the devil. I draw your attention again to this title in verse 19, the wicked one. It sums up the activity and the involvement of the devil. The devil himself, whose object is to steal away the word out of the soul, that that person may not hear with prosperity of heart and life, will not hear as he ought. To steal away the word means to destroy its influence. And that's what the devil is about. It really affects the church as well, because it's not only in the world that the devil's doing this work, but you will see that the context here suits the preaching of the word. When anyone heareth the word, there's somebody there preaching the word, opening the book, getting the word of God across. But then the devil comes in an instant to steal away the word out of the heart. That's what the devil intends to do. And I have to say here with regard to the church, the devil surely concentrates his activity on the church of God especially. We may mention the Consider Christ campaign, and everyone ought to do something more for God. No doubt about it. The Lord enable us to do something more for God. But you can expect Satan to be busy as well. It was Latimer who described him as the busy bishop in his diocese. And of course, he is. The devil intends to steal away the word out of your heart, as well as out of the heart of the ungodly. I talk principally about the ungodly here. And without question, the devil intends to steal away the word out of the heart of the unsaved man, the unsaved woman, the unsaved boy or girl, so that you won't remember the word. You won't order your life by the word. You'll make the decision yourself. More than likely, you'll make that decision the wrong way. How can you prosper if the word is stolen away out of the heart? The word is very expressive here. It's translated, catcheth. Catcheth away the word. And I noted down myself some of the ways in which this word is employed elsewhere. It's used of an angry mob grabbing hold of a poor man, probably to drag him to his death. It is used of the wolf taking hold of the sheep. It's used of a ship caught in a fearful current and doubtless swept on towards the rocks of disaster. It's also used of an evil spirit seizing its victim with the potential of hurling him into the water or into the fire. And there's no question there, but the intention is to destroy that poor soul. These are vivid pictures of what the word is about. The word has a good connotation as well, used of soul winning, pulling sinners out of the fire in the book of Jude. It's also employed by our Savior to show the security of the Christian when he says, no man will be able to pluck them, that is to say, his people. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand. That's the same word. Hallelujah. The devil who wants to catch away and pluck out the seed is not able to get to the Christian held securely in the hands of the Savior. What a wonderful salvation that is. Nevertheless, we have the vivid way in which that picture is found in the Word of God of Satan's activity. Why does the devil want to snatch away the Word? I put it to you that the devil intends to steal away the Word out of your heart because, in the first place, he knows the value of the Word of God. He knows that this is the Word which works for good in the hearts of men. And just as the fowls came and devoured the seed that was scattered on the wayside, so the devil wants to destroy the Word of God. Oh, the devil knows the Bible is the Word of God. And while he has assailed that Word with all his might and all the weapons in his armory, he knows the power of the Word of God himself. The devil fears the Word, hates it. He wants to destroy the influence of the Word of God in your life and in your home. And as well, to destroy the influence of the Word inside the church if he can. But the devil believes the Word himself. No matter how much he militates against the Word, and wants to destroy its influence and steal it away out of the heart, the devil knows the value of the Word of God. He knows the power of the Word of God. For example, the devil knows about the hereafter. He knows about heaven. He knows about the city four square with its gates of pearl, its streets of gold, the myriad choirs of the angels, and that vast company without number of the saints of God arrayed in their white robes around the throne. Oh, the devil knows full well about heaven. No one under heaven knows better than the devil that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But he does his very utmost to keep men from thinking about heaven. And he does his very utmost to keep men from preparing for heaven. But he believes the Word himself. And the devil knows about hell. He will do all he can to stop men from giving attention to what the Bible says about hell. He will do all he can to lead men to hell. But he believes in hell himself, and he trembles at the thought of it. Oh, the devil wants to steal away the Word because he knows this is the book. This is the book that opens up the way to God, that brings God near to men, and brings men near to God. And he's the arch enemy of the Word of God. And if he could, he would steal away the Word out of the pulpit. We thank God for the mercies he's given to the free church. We have such an abundance of godly and gifted men. But do you know, friends, in this congregation, we have to pray the Lord would keep it that way. It's not coincidence you have a gifted and godly man to stand in this pulpit every Lord's Day. That's a privilege. That's a very high privilege for which you would want to thank God afresh. And moreover, you would say, Lord, help him. It's his desire, his prayer to get the word into the pulpit, so to speak, and out across to the congregation. 100%. And so, in prayer, you can go along with that, knowing that it's the devil's purpose to steal away the word even out of the pulpit if he could. A newspaper reporter, oh, this is years ago, and maybe I should have cut out the piece so to remember it clearer, but I can only give you the gist of it. And it's an illustration anyway, so if I'll not make major mistakes, but I might just get a word wrong here and there. You know, my memory's not as good as it used to be. More than me can say that. But this newspaper reporter thought he'd have a wee bit of fun. It had come to that time of year when news was scarce anyway, and I'm referring to the start of a new year. People think about resolutions and so on. And people then draw up their thoughts for the new year. And this man, while he was doing that, was writing in this facetious way. He thought he would mention the Archbishop of Canterbury that year. And maybe he remembered, I think he did remember Martin Luther saying one time something to the effect that he would give $1,000 or more, he'd give a vast sum of money for the person who could come along and prove to him that there was such a thing as purgatory in the Bible. And Luther said, mind you, with all those thousands that he had offered for the man who could prove there was a purgatory in the Bible, he says, I don't know where I would find the money if I needed it. Maybe the reporter thought about that, and he said, this year I will offer £1,000 if the Archbishop preaches on the second coming of Christ. His money was safe. His money was absolutely safe. £1,000. There was no danger of the Archbishop of Canterbury preaching on the second coming of Christ. And while he intended that to be a laugh, there's a serious side to it. And a sadness comes to us when we think of a leading figure like that who, even before ungodly men, will not be expected to preach the book about eternity, about the end time, or proclaim the return of Christ. Do you know, this book is different from all other books. The Word of God, as originally given, is fully inspired in every part, in every line, in every word, in every letter. It is the Word which is proceeded out of the mouth of God. And that Word is faithfully reproduced in the translation you've got on your hand there. My Mark shows, it's over in Mark 4:15, the attention that the devil gives to the matter of stealing away the word. If you'd like, you could turn it up. Mark 4:15. And I'll read the verse in any case, Mark 4:15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. When they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. It's the word immediately. And this indicates the priority the devil puts upon stealing away the word. Matthew opens up the subject very vividly. And we understand what he's getting at when he says the devil has this intention to steal away the word out of the heart of the ungodly. Yes, and out of the heart of the believer as well, if he can manage it. to remove it from your thought, to hinder you from living by the book, from ordering your steps by what the Savior says. But Mark takes this thought, Mark 4:15, to where Satan cometh immediately. It's just sweeping in. The devil doesn't linger about the matter. He gives it high priority. He comes immediately. Now, that's interesting, because perhaps you're not a Christian today. And as you hear the word, you understand, here's the way of salvation. The need of your soul is pressed upon your attention. You know that you're out of Christ without a Savior. You recognize you need to be saved. You need to start out for glory. And yet, by the time you go through the door, when the service is over, and stand in the car park and admire the beautiful day, the thought that God put, the thought that God put in your heart may be away. May be away. You could expect it to be so. The devil cometh immediately. Before the word takes root, before the word affects your life, he comes immediately. I remember seeing a little, I think it was a news film, a family at the seaside. Just a sweet little picture. There was a wee toddler, got its ice cream, daddy and mummy with it. It was a pretty picture. And the child was really enjoying the ice cream cone. There was some on the nose and some on the chin. I think a smear in the jacket as well. And then, all of a sudden, this seagull flew in with great rapidity about the head level of the child. And with one deft turn, took everything away from it. Neither mother nor child saw the bird coming. And they hardly realized what was taking place. I was astonished when I saw it. It was done so efficiently. Just like that. Neither mother nor child saw the bird coming. But they knew when the ice cream was gone. What an illustration. One used by the Lord. How the devil can snatch away the word that you hear. The devil doesn't sit in the job. He uses distraction. And in a way, although we don't expect much of a wee toddler, but in a way, the child was certainly enjoying the ice cream, but wasn't watching. The mother wasn't watching. Father wasn't watching in the manner in which they really had to watch. Who could have seen that thing come flying in with such speed? And the Lord speaking today, the devil uses distractions so that he can take away the word. And those distractions can be different. It can be serious trouble. It can be the pleasures of the world. It can be doubt. It can even be music of a certain kind, just to lift your thoughts away from God and away from the book, away from the reality of eternity. And we have time just to show you from Luke chapter 8 why the devil snatches away, what his ultimate purpose is. It's in Luke chapter 8. I said today, in answer to this question, why does the devil steal away the word? And first of all, I said, because he knows the value and the worth of the word of God. He knows its power to do good. And then we saw from Mark how when he's stealing away the word, he comes immediately to do it. He doesn't sit in the job. And here in Luke chapter 8, let's see where it is. It's verse 12. In Luke chapter 8. those by the wayside or those that hear, but they don't hear as they should. They don't hear with the heart. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Now, this is the bit. Lest, you see it? Lest they should believe and be saved. That is as clear as day. Why the devil is intent on stealing away the word out of your heart. Lest you should believe and be saved. I bring this to your attention. It's interesting. We needn't turn up the place, but I just quoted how in Jeremiah 31 and verse 33, when the Lord describes salvation there, which He will perform in Israel in a day yet future, a salvation which He presently performs in our lives, the Lord is saying this, "And I will put My law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So here are people who are saved by the Lord putting the Word into the heart. And you can see how the devil is working contrary to that, to steal away the Word out of the heart, lest they should believe and be saved. It's the Word, when God puts it into the heart, that saves the soul. Praise His name. And the Lord tells us in the first epistle of John, that when the Savior keeps His people, that wicked one touches them not. So you can say, yes, if I'm a Christian, if I'm a believer, the devil might steal the Word of God out of my thoughts sometimes, but he can never steal away my heart. The devil can't touch you. You're kept in the Savior's hand. You're kept in His love. You're preserved by His grace. I say this to a person who's not a Christian. If you earnestly come to Christ and have this Word planted in your heart and in your soul, you will be a Christian. You'll walk with God in such a way that in spite of the snares of the world, you'll be kept safely in the arms of the Savior. I was reading the other day from 1 John chapter 2, and this is what I saw there. 1 John 2 and verse 14. "I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." And suddenly I was arrested with this. You've overcome the wicked one. You've defeated the devil because the Word of God abides. It stays in you. The devil didn't get stealing it away. Because the Word of God abideth in you. Because the Word of God stays in place there, stays in your heart. You receive strength from God. You get the victory. You've overcome the wicked one. What a dynamic statement that is. If you'd like to take a note of it, let me give you the reference again. 1 John 2 and verse 14. And I think it's most significant that the Spirit of the Lord is saying there, the Word abideth in you. It stays there. It stays in place. And thus, you're kept on that narrow way that leads to heaven and home and glory. It's a great thing to have the Savior with you, to know the power of His Word, and to look at this parable of the sower and recognize we have a deadly foe. The devil is still on the earth. He's not absent from the earth. He's involved actively in stealing away the Word himself. And we must be aware of that. But we can pray today, "Lord, let me hear the Word with understanding." That's the secret. Let me hear the Word in such a way that I'll benefit by the Word and walk with God. Let that Word be a blessing from heaven, even to my soul. Oh, may it be so this day for His name's sake. Amen.